to see you again," Innkeeper Beljeffrin said as he came out to the porch. "I'll send Varin and Seldar out to help with the horses."
Stavin nodded and guided True around the inn. True knew these stables from Stavin's many trips to Aravad, and soon she was standing in a stall, placidly munching hay and grain. Stavin let the inn's boys see to the pack animals, while he took his own bags inside. Terrell Beljeffrin met him as he came through the door.
"It's late in the year, Prince Stephen. May I ask what brings you up to Aravad in the snow?"
"Going home, Terrell. We've been in Renedia and the Lower Kingdoms all year negotiating treaties."
Terrell bowed deeply.
"I've heard some of the announcements. I understand there is going to be a new tax on goods entering Cavadia."
"That's the treaty," Stavin agreed.
Terrell bowed deeply again.
"I heard some wild stories about you as well, Prince Stephen. A minstrel was in here claiming that you are the blessed of Arendar now, on top of everything else."
Stavin sighed. "True, all too true, Terrell." Terrell stepped back and went to his knees, bowing until his forehead touched the floorboards.
"Blessed one, you honor us."
Stavin made a rude sound and said,
"Oh, would you please get up? You know me better than that."
Terrell climbed to his feet, then bowed again.
"Will your usual suite be sufficient, Prince Stephen?"
Stavin nodded and said,
"Yes, and no more displays like that. It's embarrassing." "As you command, Prince Stephen."
The rowan tree was large enough to house Stavin's party in comfort, and nearly empty at this time of year. Stavin said,
"Terrell, don't double up my men if you don't have to. They've been sharing rooms for most of this trip. Plan on us being here for 6 days."
Terrell's eyes lit at the mention of a full house at this time of year. Then he bowed and said,
"As you wish, Prince Stephen."
Karvik was at Stavin's shoulder and asked,
"Why?"
"I think I'm going to be very busy with the Traders' Council and Guild for at least 5 days, and maybe a sixth as well. I'm only going to need one team at a time, and I want the men to have a little privacy."
Karvik chuckled.
"You too?"
"I'm never alone, Kar. I feel Arendar's presence even more acutely here for some reason. Besides, you know me. The moment my head hits a pillow, I'm gone."
Karvik chuckled, then walked away. Terrell had Stavin's suite ready in moments, and Stavin went up to bathe. He'd soaked a few saddle sores into submission by the time Karvik joined him.
"Everything's arranged, Steve. Terrell said that food fit for a prince would be ready soon."
Stavin shook his head and asked,
"Oh, gods above, what is he fixing now?"
It turned out that Terrell was fixing something that he knew Stavin really did like. Venison stew. Hard-crusted sourdough rolls, sweet butter, and the best beer in Aravad completed the meal, and Stavin could hardly wait for Karvik to give the nod.
"Oh, Terrell, this is truly magnificent," Stavin managed to say between bites.
"Excellent," Karvik agreed. "You'd make the cooks in the Renedian palace jealous."
"And their brewer,"
Varric said as he sipped his beer.
"Renedian beer is too thin. This is real beer."
Terrell bowed deeply, then saw to the rest of their men. Stavin grinned at Karvik.
"He knows me so well."
"We've been here often enough. When do you think the traders are going to summon you?"
Stavin shook his head.
"Tomorrow at the earliest. They're going to want to question Jaspan first, and maybe Ralina as well. They both know the story well enough to fill in the council on what really happened, rather than what some minstrel or bard made up."
Karvik chuckled and ordered two more beers. When Varric looked at him, he said,
"You take the watch at midnight, Var. No fuzzy or eking heads for you or your men."
Varric bowed slightly, then looked at his mug. Shaking his head, he downed it in one gulp, then stood and said,
"Good night until midnight."
"Good night, Var,"
Stavin said as Varric walked away. Turning to Karvik, he asked,
"And what about you?"
"We're going to the council with you, if you go,
and we both know how late in the day they convene. This is my last one anyway."
Stavin nodded and sipped his beer, but his eyes were continuously scanning the room.
"I don't know what it is, Carr, but I feel like something is watching me."
"Someone nearby?" Karthik asked.
"I don't know if it's a someone or something. I just feel like... I feel like Charvel is watching me. Like the War Master is judging me."
Karthik looked closely at Stavin, then shook his head.
"Let me know if it gets worse."
Stavin went up to his suite and shucked himself out of his mail, but kept his underpadding on. It wasn't that he thought it would be necessary. The room was just cold. Stavin's sleep was troubled by dreams of the past. Vashkan at its height spread out before him. Great warrior kings led their people in conquest after conquest. Stavin twisted in his sleep, fearing something he couldn't name. Finally, the dream took on a familiar feel. He was the king, the emperor, and the gods below commanded him to sacrifice. Stavin sat bolt upright in his bed, shouting, "No!" Varric burst into the room, sword in one hand and a lamp in the other. He demanded, "What's wrong?" Before Stavin found his voice, Karvik bawled his way into the room and demanded the same thing. Stavin finally caught his breath and said,
"It was him again, the evilest one. It was the same old dream from when I was carrying those thrice-damned amulets."
Varric asked,
"Steve, who can he touch you now with Arendar's blessing?"
Stavin shook his head.
"I don't know, Var. I just don't know."
Karvik patted his shoulder and said,
"Go back to sleep if you can, Steve. It's still about 12 spans till first light."
Stavin made himself lay down, but he couldn't close his eyes. Something in Aravad was triggering those same old feelings of dread. Those same old feelings of being pursued, hunted, driven into a trap. He finally gave up and climbed out of bed. He squirmed back into his mail, then pulled on a set of fine clothes. He'd lost enough weight on the trip across Cavadia that they fit snugly, but not too tightly. Varric was startled when he opened the door.
"Are you all right?"
"Yes, I'm fine. I just have to get up."
"Come on down to the common room and have a cup of kava with me."
Varric walked down the stairs beside Stavin, and they took a seat at a table. Another of the guards brought both of them kava, and Stavin thanked the man before taking a sip.
"For the last few days the feel of the gods has been getting stronger. It's like Re with the temples. I am very aware of every one of them."
"What can we do about it?"
"Nothing,"
Stavin sighed.
"Not one damn thing."
They were still sitting there when Terrell came out of the kitchen.
"Oh, Prince Stephen, you're up early. What can I fix for you?"
"Eggs, ham, and fried tubers with onions."
Terrell laughed.
"One Prince Stephen special coming right up."
Varric said,
"Two."
"Three,"
Karvik added from the stairs. "And kava, lots of kava."
Terrell chuckled and bowed to Karvik as he said,
"Of course, Major Kalkarin, of course."
Karvik sat down and asked,
"How long have you been up?"
Stavin shrugged.
6, maybe 8 spans. You?"
"Never went back to sleep. I kept thinking about our second expedition and those amulets."
Stavin nodded and sipped his kava.
"Same here."
Terrell returned with fresh kava, and for a wonder Karvik didn't test it.
"Go ahead, Steve. It isn't as if you haven't already been drinking it all night."
Stavin chuckled as he picked up his cup.
"While we're here, I want to go out to the warehouse and check in with Landon and the rest."
Karvik nodded.
"And see who the elders sent down for the winter."
Stavin nodded.
"That too."
Their morning meal arrived soon after, and Stavin sat back as Karvik tested it. Terrell was standing at Stavin's side, but he was relaxed. Karvik took a small bite of everything on the plate, then nodded and pushed it over to Stavin. All three of them ate without speaking, and soon the rest of their men joined them. Sergeant Zelfordan's team took the watch, and Varric sent his men to bed.
You too, Karvik said when Varric looked like he was going to stay. Varric just nodded and stood up.
Good night to you both.
With that, he turned away and went up the stairs. Karvik looked at Stephen and nodded toward his plate.
Done?
Yep. Let's get the horses and ride over. It's a long way on foot.
Karvik nodded and led the way out of the inn, then turned around and came right back inside.
Gods above, it's cold out there.
Stephen was nodding.
I felt it. So, how about staying inside until Arendar warms things up a little?
Karvik said,
good idea,
and his men nodded their agreement. Stephen returned to the same table and sat down. He grabbed his cup and sipped, but the carver was already cooled. He looked around, but none of the servants was in the room, so he just got up and freshened his cup himself. Karvik was right beside him.
Karvik muttered, at least the carver is hot.
Stephen chuckled and led the way back to their table. Stephen took the time to go up and change into his full armor, then rejoined his men. They remained in the common room until Arendar had been up for 5 spans, before braving the outdoors again. It was still cold, but not as bad. Stephen took a moment to check on all the horses. Someone had moved all the pack horses into the stable center aisle. They seemed to be fine, so he went to True's stall.
"Ready to go out for a bit, girl?"
he asked. She shook her mane at him in answer, and he laughed. He saddled her, then looked around. The 10 men of Karvik's team were also saddling their horses. When everyone was ready, Stephen nodded to Karvik. Karvik bowed his head slightly and said,
"Form up and move out."
The man closest to the stable doors opened them and stood aside to let the others lead their horses past him, then closed the door behind him. Karvik commanded,
"Mount up!"
And once everyone was mounted,
"At your convenience, Prince Stephen."
Stephen led the way with Karvik beside him. They both knew the way, so there was no need to speak. Aravad in winter was a new experience for all of them. The city was still active. No city as large as Aravad ever completely stopped, no matter what the weather. People who were going about their normal lives hardly paid any attention to the group of riders passing by until they saw Stavin's golden armor. Then the whispers began. "The Blessed One" was the most common comment. Some people knelt, but others turned and hurried away. Karvik said,
"I don't like that."
Stephen nodded, but didn't say anything. He really didn't need to. They reached the House Kel'Aniston compound and rode straight to the stable. They had barely managed to dismount before 10 men came out of the building. One man went straight to Stephen and wrapped him in a bear hug, then lifted him from the ground.
"It's about time you got back, Steve. We were getting worried."
"Khan, what are you doing here?"
"My turn, Steve.
Where's Var?"
Stephen pointed back the way they had come. "Sleeping back at the ruin tree.
He had last watch."
"I'll see him tonight. Now you, little brother-in-law, have some explaining to do. What in the 5 hells is this rumor that you have been blessed by Arendar the Bright?"
Stephen shook his head.
"It's not just a rumor, Khan,"
Stephen replied, as he stripped True of her tack. He turned her loose in the paddock and turned back to Kandar. Stephen started walking and Kandar joined him. Stephen said,
"I'll tell everyone the story inside. It's too cold out here."
Inside the enormous building, they all went up to the top floor. It turned out that Khan and the others had brought their whole families with them, and Stephen spent 2 spans being mobbed by his nieces and nephews and their friends.
Kandar clapped his hands and said, "Let him up, he has a story to tell."
Everyone calmed down and Stephen began his story. At the end he said,
"So that's all of it. I don't know exactly why Arendar blessed me, but that's nothing new."
"Steve,"
Kandar whispered,
"what are you going to do now?"
Stephen answered in a soft tone,
"Go home. I'm going home to Shari and the kids.
Anything else will just happen as it happens.
One of the other warriors asked, But what of Arendar's temple? Are you going to make the worship of Arendar the official religion of Evandia?
Stavin shook his head and smiled. No, I don't know exactly what he wants, but it's not that.
Then what will you do?
Varys, Kandar's wife, asked.
Go back to just being me.
Kandar chuckled.
That would be enough for any man.
It wasn't until their third day in Aravad that the Traitors' Council sent Arlik Zelvandar to very politely invite Stephen to join them.
Prince Stephen, this newest transformation of yours has the entire city buzzing. The people from the Zelkordel caravan have been getting roaring drunk telling your story in every inn, tavern and alehouse in the city.
Stephen laughed. Let them profit a little from this tale. I don't mind any more.
You've changed that much.
Stephen grinned as he bowed slightly.
Yes, that was one of the few things Arendar made clear. He wanted me to stop being so angry all the time. The hurt that made me so touchy about, well, about everything, I guess, is gone. Now, if the traders want to tell my story and maybe make a spark or two, so be it. At least they aren't minstrels or bards who've never even met me.
Lord Arlik bowed, but he was smiling broadly.
I am glad you've come to terms with your fame, Prince Stephen. Will you join me and the council?
Stephen nodded and stood, as did Lord Arlik. Varric's team was on, so he and his men formed up as well. Lord Arlik gave them a questioning look, then shrugged and led the way. The walk wasn't that long, and by now just about everyone in Aravad knew Stephen was there, and the story of his latest exploits. People bowed or knelt as he passed, and there were even a few who followed him. Varric kept everyone at a safe distance, but wasn't rude about it. The ancient palace of the kings of Cavadia was the home of the Aravad Traders' Council. Only a few of Varric's team had been there before, and they thoroughly enjoyed the reaction of the rest. Varric posted his men outside the council chamber, but followed Stavin into the room. At Stavin's puzzled look, he simply said,
Orders.
Stavin shrugged, then took the seat that had been left vacant for him.
Prince Stephen,
Lord Perrit began as soon as everyone was seated.
We welcome you once again to the council. What title should we use to properly honour you?
Stephen stood and bowed.
Prince or master, as you have in the past, Lord Perrit.
If that is your wish, we will honour it. I have heard from young Jaspan that your negotiations with the kingdoms were successful.
Stephen nodded.
They were indeed, Lord Perrit. Caravia, Luxandia, and Renidia have all agreed to a 5% tax both ways between Cavadia and their kingdoms.
He smiled as the councillors started murmuring.
In addition, the members of the Aravad Traders' Council have favoured trader status that lowers the tax to 2.5%. Cavadian traders returning from the other kingdoms will only have to pay half.
A woman to Stavin's left stood and bowed.
How were you able to get that concession, Prince Stephen? We've been trying for many, many years with no success.
Stephen grinned and shrugged one shoulder.
Caravia and Luxandia were easy. The argument that you and the guild would be able to use the tax money to pay for guardsmen to patrol the border regions and cut down on the bandits was enough. In Renidia, you already had the 2.5% as favoured traders. There were other considerations as far as the rest of the tax proposal went. King Alred didn't want me distracted, so he simply accepted everything I had proposed.
You could have gotten us more concessions. A better deal,
a man down the right-hand side at the table grumbled. Stephen shook his head.
No, I couldn't. Not honourably.
The man looked like he was about to say something else when Lord Arlik stepped in.
Nestan, don't be an ass,
he snarled.
He could have done better by us,
Lord Nestan Zeltobran nearly shouted. Lord Arlig leaned forward and replied in a low, tightly controlled tone.
"He's not our Minister of Trade, you fool. Prince Stephen did us a favour by bringing the issue up at all."
Lord Zeltobrin's mouth opened as if to argue, but snapped shut on whatever he was about to say as he looked around. Every eye in the room was on him, and few of the expressions were friendly. Some were bordering on rage. He shook his head angrily, then sat back and glowered at everyone. Lord Perrit looked around the room, then focused on Stephen again.
"Prince Stephen, I'd like to digress. Will you tell us the story of your blessing by Arendar? I've heard it from Jaspan and Ralina, but I've also heard different versions from other members of their caravan."
Stephen bowed his head and began his tale once again.
"In southern Renedia we encountered the town and estate of Aniston. Lady Sarana..."
He told the story in detail, not omitting anything.
"So her own goddess destroyed her. I wasn't going to do the bidding of the gods below."
"You could have made yourself a king,"
one of the younger men blurted out. Stephen laughed.
"I've been a king. Didn't like it."
"Prince Stephen," Lord Zelcordal said as he stood to glare around the room, "as a member of this council, but he is also a prince of Evandia, and holds royal status in Caerivia as well. You will all remember that, and comport yourselves accordingly."
Turning to Stephen, he bowed deeply.
"Please accept my apology on behalf of the council, Prince Stephen."
Stephen bowed his head, so Lord Perrit continued,
"Given the nature of your latest change of status, I have to ask how it will change your involvement in trade."
Now Stephen shrugged.
"I honestly don't know, Lord Perrit. A lot will depend on King Caelin's reaction to the news. He is a fairly devout follower of Lady Sarin, and how he'll react to me being blessed by Arendar is anybody's guess."
A small woman that Stephen thought he should recognize asked,
"Do you think he already knows?"
Stephen shook his head.
"I don't know. I wanted to send him a message from Rhee, but I couldn't get to the gold merchant's chapter house. The crowds were unruly, and the commander of my guards was very forceful in his objections to my taking that risk."
Lord Arlick looked at Varric and asked,
"How forceful were you?"
Varric bowed before replying,
"I am not the commander, Lord Zelvandar. That's Major Kalkarin."
Lord Arlick gave Varric an intense look.
"I've met Karvik Kalkarin several times. What did he do?"
"He threatened to sit on Prince Stephen."
Stephen looked sideways at Varric and said,
"Yeah, and you offered to help."
Varric shrugged.
"Shari said to do whatever it took to keep you safe."
Stephen shook his head.
"Just because I have to do everything she says doesn't mean you have to."
"Oh, yes, it does,"
Varric replied, as he moved to look down at Stephen.
"You might have married her, but she knows secrets about me."
Stephen smiled slyly.
"Not all of it is secret anymore, Var."
Lord Arlick said,
"Your pardon, Prince Stephen, but who—"
He indicated Varric with one hand.
"My brother-in-law, Shari's little brother."
Lord Arlick chuckled.
"The princess does have a somewhat forceful personality."
"She's mean, Lord Arlick. She's just plain mean."
Lord Arlick chuckled.
"I have found her charming the few times we've met, but I'll grant you have a different, more intimate view of her than I do. The gods above know my little sister and I have had our share of battles."
Stephen nodded as Varric bowed.
Stephen said, "Honored councillors, I will be continuing on to Evandir in 2 more days. I will make myself available if you have any more questions concerning trade or the treatise. For now, if you will excuse me, I have issues with my house that require my attention."
He stood and bowed slightly, and all the councillors stood and returned the bow deeply. Stephen left the council chamber with Varric at his side.
"That was abrupt, Steve. What's going on?"
I'm not sure. It's just that the feeling of being watched got a lot stronger. Whoever it is took more interest when that woman asked about Keelan's reaction.
So what are you going to do now?
Stephen grinned up at Varric.
What I said. There actually is something I need to do for House Calaniston. I thought of it when I finally recognized that tiny woman.
You recognized her?
Yes, she's a green merchant. I bought part of our spring supplies from her before we went against the Andarian army.
He laughed.
That seems so long ago. I'm going to designate Landon, or whoever is running House Calaniston, as my council representative. That way I'll have a voice without having to come up here.
Isn't that something for the council to decide?
Stephen shook his head.
No, I need a magistrate. This has to be legally binding. I essentially have to give over full control and authority for the Cavidian branch of Calaniston to my manager.
That's putting a lot of faith in him.
Stephen shrugged.
I think it's well placed. Besides, I already did the same thing for Corrine and all the others.
Stephen led Varric out of the ancient palace and then toward the west.
Magistrates here are an odd lot. They have authority outside the control of the Traders Guild. They're one of the few groups in Cavidia that do.
There always has to be an outsider to say no to the king.
Stephen nodded and said,
essentially.
They continued on with Varric's team and a double file behind them. The building that held the Aravadian magistrates wasn't impressive. It was old and in disrepair, and Varric placed a hand on Stavin's shoulder to stop him.
This can't be right,
he murmured in a suspicious tone. Stavin shook his head and replied,
unfortunately, this is a symptom of the low level of respect that Cavadians have for their magistrates.
Varric shook his head but didn't say anything. The entire group entered the building and found an elderly woman sitting behind a desk. She looked up and froze as her eyes widened.
Prince Stephen, I heard you were back in town.
Stephen grinned.
Greeting, Melanus. I need to see one of the magistrates.
The woman bowed her head, then backed away from her desk. She did not, however, stand. She rolled back in a chair that had a set of wheels on it. Once she passed through a door, Varric turned to Stephen.
Did you see that?
Stephen smiled.
Yes, I saw. The healers say they can't do anything for her back. Some things are beyond even the healer adepts. That chair lets her continue her work and support herself.
So you know her? No, never mind. She knew you on sight and didn't fall to her knees.
Stephen smiled up at Varric as he replied,
Alec brought me here years ago when I established House Calaniston and introduced us. She's originally from House Felvandar. She manages the magistrate's schedule.
But,
Stephen shook his head.
Her back is broken, not her mind. Be careful, Var. Her wit is sharper than your sword.
Melanus returned and said,
Magistrate Zelmorvan will see you now, Prince Stephen.
Stephen bowed, then led Varric to the back.
Just you, Var. Everyone else remain here.
Varric glanced over his shoulder, but didn't have to give the order. All of the guardsmen had already moved toward the walls. The back of the building looked better than the front. The walls were still obviously old, but someone had at least cleaned them. Stephen walked into an open door and stopped.
Greetings, Magistrate Zelmorvan.
The man standing behind the desk bowed deeply.
It is a pleasure to see you again, Prince Stephen. Who may I be of service?
Stephen bowed his head.
Magistrate Zelmorvan, I am seeking to make the manager of House Calaniston my representative on the council.
That is a standard practice, Prince Stephen. I have the appropriate document. I thought I had it. Ah, there it is,
he finally said, as he pulled a rolled parchment from a cubby and flattened it out.
All I need is your representative's name and your signature.
Stephen turned the document around toward himself and filled in Landon's name, then signed and sealed the document.
There we are,
he said, as he turned it back around.
The magistrate signed his name and title, then sealed over his signature and Stephen's.
There we are, Prince Stephen. That will be 2 gold crowns.
Varric blurted, 2?
Stephen put a hand on Varric's arm to calm him down.
That's about what I expected.
But 2 gold crowns for a piece of parchment?
Yep. Magistrate Zelmorvan, thank you for your time.
The magistrate bowed as Stephen turned away and left the room. All of the guards joined on them as they walked out into the street.
Varric looked down at Stephen and frowned. Steve, that's ridiculous.
You should try a magistrate in Twin Bridges. This,
he held up the parchment,
would have cost twice as much there.
Varric asked,
really?
In a stunned tone.
Really? That's one of the many reasons they say you can buy justice in Evandia, and everywhere else for that matter. Only people who can afford a magistrate go to them. The poor, or even the not-so-wealthy, hesitate to approach magistrates just about everywhere. It's seldom worth what they charge. Remember the story of the 5 crowns worth of gold and silver I got in Twin Bridges my first visit?
Varric nodded as his eyebrows drew down.
Yes, vaguely.
Stephen grinned.
That was only half of what the magistrate charged those 2 traitors. He kept the other 5 gold crowns.
Varric shook his head and whispered,
"Being a magistrate pays good."
Stephen let loose a heavy sigh.
"Yes, but you have to know somebody in the Ministry of Justice to get an appointment. That's why you never see anything but chosen magistrates."
Varric shook his head but remained silent. Stephen was taking them out of town again, to the Calaniston Trading House. When they arrived, Stephen gathered everyone together.
"My friends, I have a commission for London."
He held up the parchment.
"This document makes London my representative on the council, with my proxy so he can cast Calaniston's vote."
Landon stood and took the document from Stephen's hand and bowed.
"Thank you, Prince Stephen. But why now?"
Stephen raised both hands to shoulder level in an armoured shrug.
"I'm not certain, but I think it's going to be even harder for me to get up here now that Arendar has blessed me. At a guess, I'd say the demands on my time are going to double, if not more. I need a presence on the council to speak for House Calaniston on my behalf."
Turning toward the other traders, he smiled.
"London has my full faith and confidence concerning any and all issues pertaining to the management of the Cavadian branch of House Calaniston. This is really something I should have done a long time ago, but..."
He paused to give everyone a bashful grin.
"I liked having an excuse to sneak away for 20 or more days and come up here."
Now he shook his head and looked at the floor.
"But Arendar's blessing is changing that. While I don't want to re-establish Arendar's temple in Twin Bridges, I don't think I'm going to be given a choice. Someone, possibly even King Caelan himself, is going to make an issue of it, and I might not be able to say no."
"Your pardon, Prince Stephen," one of the younger traders said, as he stepped forward and bowed.
"But how can they make you do anything you don't want to do? The same way parents everywhere get their grown children to do something they don't want to do. Guilt."
"Against you?" the young man asked.
"Yes. Just because I have a title and glowing armor doesn't mean my parents, including my adoptive father, can't manipulate me. Even Karvik's mother can still get me to jump with just a word."
"Or a raised eyebrow,"
Varric muttered. Stephen laughed.
"Oh, yes," he agreed, and looked around. "If there are issues that Landon doesn't feel confident dealing with, he can still call on me. This just gives us a more active role in determining how trade in Gavadia is going to be handled."
"But what if something happens to Landon?"
a young woman asked.
"Then I'll designate someone else."
Landon stepped forward and swept the room with a glance. His age was showing in his grey hair, but he was still a tall, muscular man.
"Prince Stephen is not doing anything unusual.
Half of the houses of the Aravad Council are represented by traders from the houses, rather than the owners. These procedures are as old as the council.
Stavin bowed slightly to Landon.
I am planning on leaving in 2 days. If you have any questions, you know where we're staying.
Everyone bowed to Stavin, then he headed toward the door. His guardsmen formed up behind him, and they left the compound. Stavin noticed that Kandar was walking beside Varric, but he just smiled. Stavin went to his room and laid back on the bed. The feeling of being watched was making him nervous. He looked at the ceiling and asked, "Is this really necessary?"
There was no answer, of course. A knock at his door made him sit up and say, "Come!" automatically. The door opened, and the guard said, "Prince Stephen, your presence is requested downstairs."
Stavin could hear the sound of shouting and said, "Help me armor up," as he started putting on his plate. The guard did as he was asked, and when Stavin was ready, he fell in at Stavin's shoulder. The voices got louder as they descended, finally becoming a roar when Stavin was seen on the stairs. The entire Royal Guard contingent was formed up at the base of the stairs to keep dozens of people back. A voice shouted, "Blasphemer!" and a pair of antique shears was thrown through the air, only to bounce off Stavin's armor. That attack, however, was enough for the Royal Guards. Karvik bellowed, "Protect the Prince!" and the guardsmen advanced, their armored fists driving people toward the door like drovers herding cattle.
Someone screamed, "Leber One, take you all!"
And something reacted. Power muffled the noise and suppressed the people, driving them to their knees in agony. Even the royal guards were driven to their knees, and so was Stavin. There were no words. There was just a feeling of power that was more than Stavin had ever felt, even from Arendar. And behind that power was pain. It was gone in an instant. Stavin scrambled to his feet as soon as he could, looking around as his guardsmen did the same. Everyone was panting and pale, but functional. The people who had been screaming were now whimpering as they crawled for the door. Karvik climbed the stairs slowly, using his arms to pull himself up the handrail, as if his legs alone weren't capable of the task.
"Are you all right, Steve?"
"Yeah."
Stavin was catching his breath quickly.
"What was that?"
"Arendar?"
Stavin shook his head.
"I don't think so. Arendar has been an overwhelming force every time he has touched me, but that was different. That was more powerful, and it was... Oh, gods, Belokar, I recognize it now. That was Esho, you know. Aravad was part of Vashkan, and I'd bet there was an ancient temple of the evilest one somewhere near here. We're in the southern part of the city."
"So you think he is the one who has been watching you?"
"Yes, and the rest as well. Kar, if there was a river here in ancient times, this could be Klamath."
Karvik looked around, then shook his head.
"No, Klamath was in an ancient lake bed. Aravad is in the high plains. No lake ever stood here. Nice idea, though."
Stavin nodded.
"But we know this was part of Vashkan, and Esho was worshipped here."
"But why would he protect you?"
Stavin slowly descended into the common room and took a seat.
"I don't think he was. I was hit as hard as you were. I think it was the mention of Leb by one of his priests that caused that reaction. Arendar and the gods above don't react to Sarin and Leb, but that doesn't mean the gods below won't, especially if one of their temples was here."
Karvik looked around and said,
"All of you heard that. Watch your mouths and don't mention the younger gods even in passing."
Turning back toward Stavin, he nodded,
"Are you sure we need to stay 2 more days?
Stavin nodded.
"Yes, I think so. There are a few more matters of trade to deal with. You can start getting the men ready. Find a hand of street kids to give all of the horses a thorough currying, except True. I'll take care of True myself."
Karvik gave Stavin a sour glance.
"And how much are you going to overpay them?"
Stavin grinned.
You know me too well. A silver crown each, plus at least one good hot meal.
A spark would be more appropriate. Very well, I know better than to waste time trying to change your mind.
After the midday meal, Stephen went out to tend True. She was openly glad to see him, and he saw why. Karvik was in the stall with his Chana.
"Taking care of your sweetheart, Car?"
Karvik laughed and kissed Chana's nose.
"Of course. She's the prettiest woman I know who Arana isn't jealous of."
Stephen shook his head as he laughed, then went to True.
"How's my darling?"
he asked as he ran his hands down both sides of her neck. True nuzzled him, and he laughed as he brought out an apple.
"You know I always bring you something,"
he laughed as he twisted the apple in half for her. True munched contentedly as Stephen began currying her sides. Stephen was almost finished when Karvik whispered,
"Steve, behind you."
Stephen turned slowly to find six youths kneeling just outside True's stall. They were evenly divided between boys and girls, though it was a little hard to tell with their heavy coats on.
"Have you completed your task?"
he asked in a gentle tone.
"We have, blessed Prince Stephen,"
one of the older girls answered. One of the boys added,
"All of your pack horses are carried, blessed one. The royal guardsmen told us not to touch their horses."
"Royal guardsmen tend to our own mounts,"
Karvik replied. Stephen had pulled his pouch out and was counting coins while he spoke.
"Each of you step forward and hold out your hand."
Each child did, and Stephen placed a coin in each palm, then closed the hand around it.
"Go home now. I'm sure your families are going to appreciate your efforts."
"Blessed one,"
the smallest girl said in a soft, frightened tone.
"You made a mistake."
She held her hand out to show Stephen the gold Renadian crown in her palm. All the children immediately looked at their coins, but there was no silver among them. Karvik shook his head and sighed, then said,
"I should have known."
Stephen smiled and reached out, closing the girl's hand over the coin.
"I don't make mistakes like that, child. Go home with your treasure and see that your family is fed."
Looking around, he said,
"All of you go home now, and let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls."
The girl backed away with a look of pure worship on her face, then turned and ran out of the stables with the rest close behind her.
Karvik laughed. "That will feed their families for quite a while, Steve."
"As intended,"
Stephen answered.
"It's also going to enhance your legend."
"But you shouldn't have done it."
Stephen shook his head.
"Why not? At least this story will be close to true."
Karvik shook his head.
"Not that, Steve. You shouldn't have done it because now everyone you meet is going to expect a gold crown."
Stephen laughed, then turned and caressed True's neck.
"What do you think, True?"
She shook her head, then nuzzled his face.
"Well, at least you think I'm right."
Karvik shook his head as he closed Chana's stall.
"I need some hot kava."
Chapter 35. The day was just begun when Stephen led his men out of Aravad. It was cold enough that he'd purchased a large wool blanket for each horse, and they made a surprising sight as they left the city. Karvik was still laughing about it as the sun illuminated the group.
"You couldn't have at least gotten them all the same color."
Stephen laughed as he looked back. The blankets on the pack horses were plain, undyed wool, but the rest were in every imaginable color. True was covered in a delightful pink, while Chana was in bright green. They traveled at a brisk pace, making far better time than usual. 4 days delivered them to the Evandian border. The border guards passed them in silence after confirming Stavin's identity, but their expressions said volumes, and apparently quite amusing volumes at that. Stephen kept them at a brisk pace until they reached Kolovad late the second day in Evandia. Their reception was not what Stephen wanted.
"Blessed one,"
the guard at the city gate stammered.
Stephen sighed. "Yes, guard?"
"Prince Stephen, welcome home.
another voice said, and Stavin looked around to find a tall army captain striding toward him. Stavin nodded in acknowledgement, but Karvik answered,
"Captain Zelnervan, now that's a surprise."
Stavin turned toward Karvik and asked, "Kar?" Karvik laughed.
"He was a fresh lieutenant with the Pacification Force."
Stavin looked surprised and said, "Oh, Captain Zelnervan, we're in need of a large inn." The captain bowed deeply and replied,
"I will be happy to escort you, Prince Stephen. The Alder Tree Royal Inn is almost all the way across the city, but it is the finest Kolovad has to offer."
"I didn't know Kolovad had a royal inn,"
Karvik answered. "I didn't either, but it makes sense. This was one of the ancient imperial roads. I bet if we found a map from that era, there would have been a complete series of royal inns between Twin Bridges and Aravat, just like the ones between Twin Bridges and Moravat.
And up to Saravad in Ferindia and Daralvad in Andaria, and towns around each of them."
Stavin shook his head sadly.
"We lost so much after Dandar Shandrake left us."
Karvik nodded, but didn't say anything. It was an old wound on the souls of all their peoples. Everyone who had once called the Luxandian Empire home had lost so much. The Alder Tree Royal Inn was one of the smaller ancient inns. Stavin guessed that it was as old as Kolovad itself, and was probably at the heart of the original city. Captain Zelnervan led Stavin up the steps, just as a panicked-looking woman came out of the doors.
"Prince Stephen, I am so terribly ashamed. I received no notice of your arrival. I have but poor fear to offer you."
Stavin shook his head as he replied, "As long as it's hot, it will be fine." Captain Zelnervan said, "Prince Stephen, this is Innkeeper Delinda Felcanis."
"Innkeeper Felcanis," Stavin replied. "We need to see to our horses. It's too cold to leave them without cover. Can your stable accommodate them?" "Your forgiveness, Prince Stephen, but no. We can only provide for 12 horses."
The captain stepped into Stavin's line of sight and bowed slightly. "The army stables can accommodate the rest of your horses, Prince Stephen."
Stavin nodded. "Very well. True, and the horses from Karvik's team will remain here. The rest will go to the army stables. Lieutenant Kelhovel," he turned and made sure Varric was paying attention, "see to it that all the horses are properly cared for. Let the army handlers see to the pack animals."
Turning back toward the captain, Stavin said,
"Please escort them to the stables, and invite your commanding officer and his staff to join me at the evening meal."
The captain snapped to attention, then bowed. "At once, Prince Stephen." He led off with 2/3 of the royal guardsmen behind him, and Stavin turned his attention back toward the innkeeper.
"There. Now where are your stables, Innkeeper Felcanis?"
The innkeeper silently bowed, then led off around the building. Stavin led True behind her, and Karvik led his men behind Stavin. Stavin dismissed the innkeeper to return to her kitchen, then took his time stabling True. He saw to her food and water first, then gave her a thorough currying. Karvik saw what he was doing and asked,
"How much time are you giving her?"
2 or 3 spans, long enough to get food from some of the other inns we passed."
Karvik chuckled and continued tending his chana. When Stavin was finally satisfied with True's coat, he draped the blanket over her and tied it under her neck and belly. All around him, the rest of the royal guardsmen were doing the same. When everyone was ready, Stavin led the way to the inn. The common room was deserted except for the balance of the royal guardsmen and the innkeeper. Innkeeper Felcanis rushed towards Stavin, saying,
"Prince Stephen, I have a somewhat larger selection to offer you now. May I serve you mutton stew, roast bison rump, roast duck, or shredded goat in a tangy sauce?"
Stavin looked at Karvik, then said,
"Roast bison."
Karvik added, "With vegetables and bread and butter."
"And hot carver," Stavin added. "It's too cold for beer right now."
Karvik grinned as he said, "Never thought I'd hear you say that."
Stavin laughed and led the way to a table that put his back to the wall. Karvik joined him, as did two of the younger chosen guardsmen. The innkeeper arrived with their meal and set it in front of Stavin and Karvik, then accepted orders from the others. All around the common room the royal guardsmen were placing orders with the servants. Soon the only sound was that of men eating. Karvik said,
"It's only been 6 days since Aravat. They act like they're starving."
"They act like they're eating something they didn't fix themselves,"
Stavin replied around a mouthful of meat. Karvik laughed. A disturbance at the door turned out to be a group of 15 officers led by Captain Zelnervan. The captain led the way to Stavin's table and bowed.
"Prince Stephen, please allow me to present General Bardal Zelfordan."
"Uncle Bard,"
a voice asked, making the general turn around.
"Av?"
the general asked in a stunned tone.
"Is that really you?"
Sergeant Zelfordan smiled as he took his uncle's forearm.
"It's wonderful to see you again. When did you take command?"
8 moons ago,"
the general answered, then turned back towards Stavin and bowed.
"I beg your pardon, Prince Stavin."
Karvik took the initiative and looked at the two privates who were sharing their table.
"Would you young lords excuse us?"
Both men stood and bowed, then left with their plates and mugs. Stavin gestured to the now empty chairs and said,
"Please join us."
Sergeant Zelfordan bowed slightly and said,
"I'll see you later, Uncle Bard."
Then he bowed to Stavin and backed away. The general took the chair opposite Stavin, and a colonel took the seat opposite Karvik. The general introduced the colonel immediately.
"Prince Stephen, this is my chief of staff, Colonel Jeffral Zelkurlan."
Stavin nodded to the colonel, then turned his attention back to the general.
"General Zelfordan, I suspect you've heard the rumors."
"That you're the blessed of Arendar, no, on top of everything else? Yes, we've heard the rumors."
Karvik said,
"They're true."
Both officers glared at Karvik. Stavin laughed at their expressions and said,
"Only at the heart of the matter, my lords. I have been blessed by Arendar the Bright. I did fight and defeat the blessed of the Goddess of Terra. Don't mention the gods below by name. Arendar doesn't like it. But the rest of the ridiculous minstrel tales are just plain old lies."
The general looked pensive as he asked,
"So the story of you slaying a dragon?"
Stavin snorted and covered his mouth until he regained control of himself.
"Oh, gods above, that's funny."
Karvik spoke while Stavin laughed.
"The creature was a Draeger, not a dragon." "You actually killed a Draeger, Prince Stephen?"
the colonel asked in a husky tone.
"No, she was killed by her own goddess. You see..."
Stavin told the whole story as the army officers crowded close. The innkeeper and her staff kept everyone well supplied with food and beverages, and incidentally got the story at the same time.
"So, with Rheon the Glimmer and the Kingdom Sif, we begged permission from King Ulred to leave. He threw in the Hero of Renidia at the end because I was refusing everything else he was offering." "You are a truly remarkable young man, Prince Stephen,"
a woman's voice said from behind several of the officers. The men stepped aside, and General Zelfordan said,
"Prince Stephen, allow me to present Lady Mayor
Morvana Zeldevran,"
Stavin completed as he stood and bowed.
"It's a pleasure to see you again, Lady Zeldevran."
He bowed again to the mayor, and she bowed in return.
"Prince Stephen, I arrived at the part of your story just after Arendar the Bright blessed you. Did I miss anything exciting?"
Stavin shook his head and replied,
"No, Lady Morvana, just a minor attack by the priests of Lebawan." "Oh, good,"
she said, as she poked Colonel Zelkurlan's shoulder with one finger.
"You're in my seat, Jeff."
The colonel stood and held the chair for the Lady Mayor.
"Thank you. Now, Prince Stephen, what other remarkable feats have you accomplished this year?"
Stavin took his time telling the rest of the story, with a little help from Karvik and Varric. He ended it with,
"And so we are home at last."
The Lady Mayor was nodding her head sagely.
"You have lived up to the wildest hopes and dreams of our good king and princess, Prince Stephen. Now it's time for me to retire. I thank you for your story,"
she said, as she bowed her head deeply,
"and extend the welcome of the city council."
"Delinda,"
she said to catch the innkeeper's attention,
"the bell comes to me."
The innkeeper bowed deeply but didn't reply.
"Jeff, help me up,"
she commanded, and the colonel immediately did her bidding. Seeing the puzzled look on Stavin's face, she said,
"He's my nephew."
Stavin smiled and bowed his head as the Lady Mayor turned away. General Zelfordan bowed as well.
"Allow me to extend our welcome as well. My garrison is at your disposal."
He smiled, then turned away and led his men out of the inn. Chapter 36 Stavin led his men out of Kolovad the next morning. He again set a fast pace as they rode toward home. It still took 7 days to reach Twin Bridges. They rode through the city of East Bridge and over the East Bridge into Twin Bridges as the guardsmen and people of the area went to their knees. Stavin looked at Karvik and said,
"They know."
Karvik laughed and replied, "Of course they know." The ride to the palace was a long one. Everywhere they looked, people were falling to their knees and occasionally bowing until their foreheads touched the ground. Stavin just ignored them for the most part. He led his men into the palace and around to the stables. Stablemen came out immediately and started taking the horses, then dropped to the ground when they realized who was there. Stavin hugged True's neck, then headed for the palace door. Darvin Zelfordal met him there.
"Steve! What did you do?"
he asked in an exasperated tone. Stavin laughed and replied,
"Just the usual, Dav. Where are Shari and the kids?"
"Shari is with Marina in her suite. Most of the people are in court with everyone else. Uncle Carl is waiting for your report."
Stavin shook his head, then started walking.
"So which rumor am I in the most trouble over?"
"That you seized a town and took the women as sex slaves."
Stavin looked up at his tall friend and said,
"Oh, be serious. You know that one is a lie."
"How about you killing a dragon?"
"Stupid minstrels."
Darvin laughed.
"You killed all the high priests and installed your chosen lords as the ultimate religious authority in Renidia."
"I only killed 3 priests, and that was in Zell Castle when the priests of Lebawan attacked me."
Darvin stopped and grabbed Stavin's shoulder.
"That really happened?"
"Yes."
Stavin started walking again.
"I would have stayed out of it if they hadn't had a mage."
Darvin continued.
"You refused the Renidian crown?"
"Wasn't even offered."
"You fathered a child?"
"No!
Though a young girl did offer me her virginity on the way up to Rheon the Glimmer. Var turned her away before I even heard about it."
Darvin laughed.
"How about that you went single-handed against the forces of darkness in the ancient temple complex at Rhee?"
"That one's true," Karvik rumbled. "Stubborn ass."
Darvin looked at Karvik and asked,
"Why didn't you stop him?"
"You tried to stop him, Dav. Adding Arendar's influence on top of his natural tendencies, and he's even more unreasonable."
"Hey!"
"Stow it, Steve. King Keelin would be within his rights to dismiss me from the guard and send me home in disgrace."
Stavin grinned.
"He knows I'd go with you."
"Where?"
"Darvin's port in Karevia. The Zeldarvin family still owns most of it, and I am a scion of the Zeldarvin family."
Darvin said,
"Did I mention King Teravan and Princess Elisan are here? He's not too happy about your latest exploits either."
Stavin looked at Karvik and said,
"Shut up, Kar."
Karvik stopped laughing long enough to point a shaking finger at Stavin, then collapsed against the wall. Darvin put a hand on Stavin's shoulder and pushed him toward the court. "There are a lot of people waiting to yell at you, Steve. Especially Shari." The doors of the court stood open, and Darwin marched Stephen through without pausing. Inside, filling all but a narrow aisle down the center of the room, were the chosen lords and ladies.